tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth, or NPE. Thank you very much for returning. We do appreciate that. You can catch me on Twitter at Naturopath Earth. And of course, please go to my website, www.naturopathicearth.com. That's Naturo, N-A-T-U-R-O. PathicEarth.com to review my articles, listen to my podcasts, and read my confession blogs if you like. I was a formerly overweight child who lost my weight and kept it off for 25 years. I'm available for a health consultant consultation. Please visit my landing page and consult me. Today we're going to cover The Dirty Dozen, not the old 1950s movie, but I think a lot of you guys who listen to wellness podcasts, health podcasts, know about the Environmental Working Group's annual publication of The Dirty Dozen and The Clean 15. So this podcast won't be that long. I'm trying to make these MPEs pretty short at the beginning. So let's just cover from the beginning because, you know, I like to see everything kind of from a paleo mindset. At the beginning of time, or since time immemorial, you know, Adam and Eve really didn't have to worry about pesticides and irradiation of food, two things that we do to most of our food. They didn't have fertilizers and all that. The earth was fecund, and they nurtured the crops and fertilized them naturally, and then they harvested it. But one of the casualties of the modern production of food, you know, because really, I think since maybe about 100 years ago, we started bottling food, and then definitely after the war, World War II, we started this mass production of food, modeled kind of on the Model T by Henry Ford, just the assembly line kind of automation of food, is that in the sake of saving money, and ostensibly really for the sake of being able to produce more food to feed the world. Remember, after the war, we had the Marshall Plan, and much of the modern world was devastated after the war. And so we were able to come in and help out. And I think so, you know, if you talk to Big Food, they'd probably say that a lot of these mass production of foods help feed the world. You could argue that a lot of the impoverished parts of the world, like South Sudan, the ruling junta, prevent the food from getting to the places that need to be provided by this food. And so starvation still occurs. And unfortunately, you see this with they undermine the logistics of food transportation. But nowadays, though, in the name of mass producing food, we do douse our foods with a lot of pesticides, fertilizers, and growth factors. I think a lot of you know that our meats are shot up with growth hormones and antibiotics to make them plumper. And some studies show that we actually ingest those antibiotics. And there's actually some studies that show that going to antibiotics, you know, if you take something like three courses of antibiotics under the age of three, you're 70% more likely to be overweight as a child. A lot of people think that we give antibiotics to animals to prevent them from getting diseases because, like, chickens, for example, are like locked up in cages their entire life. And that's partly true, but mostly it's because agribusiness learned way, way early on in livestock producers that antibiotics cause their produce to get fat. And so, of course, the fatter the animal, the more meat there is. And so, yeah, so think about that the next time you take antibiotics. I mean, there's a host of problems with antibiotics, but let's try to stay on task here. So officially, pesticides are used to combat pestilence, right? In the old days, think of the book of Exodus, you know, there'd be like a locust infestation that would wipe out a crop, or a super freeze would come in and destroy the orange crop down in Florida or in South Texas. So again, legitimately, there were reasons to spray our foods. It's just that it's gotten really out of hand, and now we use a lot of industrial grade pesticides. Roundup, for example, and the weed killer, is made of glyphosate. And glyphosate, geez, I mean, there's hosts of studies on what glyphosate does to the body in terms of asthma and endocrine or hormone disruption, even infertility and cancer. I mean, it's a major problem, these pesticides. In addition to that, we genetically modify a lot of our food. Corn, soybean, about 90 to 95% of those things in America are GMO. And GMO is going to be a separate podcast. But that's another issue. Some people have problems ingesting genetically modified food. And there's been a big battle the last few years about labeling food as GMO or not. Now, the question is, and I bring this up to my students, is like, why would Big Food not want their food to be labeled contains GMO? I mean, it's what's the harm? If according to their studies, there's nothing wrong with genetically modified organisms, food, that why not label it? Well, the big fight was in California a few years back, and in Monsanto, when Big Food put in millions of dollars in that campaign saying that by having to relabel all their foods, it was going to make it more expensive and therefore raise the price. And for whatever reason, even a hippie liberal state like California, the people believed in it, was shot down. Since then, there have been some states that it's passed, for example, Vermont. So there is groundwork being made there in terms of genetically modified awareness, because there are some studies. A famous one is the French study that came out about 5-10 years ago, where mice that have a typical lifespan of about 2 years were given GMO food since their birth, and all of them within about 6 months had gigantic tumors the size of their bodies coming out of them, and they all died young. Now, of course, you know, we do not have the exact metabolism that rats do, but it is concerning. It is concerning. So, we all need produce. We all know produce has tons of phytochemicals, and we need to eat them. And I've mentioned in previous podcasts and in my confessions, what are the ideal fruits to eat? Because a lot of them do have fructose, and you know, most vegetables are pretty good to go. But the pesticides, how do we get around the pesticides? So let's go over the EWG. The EWG, Environmental Working Group, is a consumer rights group that's been around forever. And they have great apps. They have an app, which I don't personally have, but I know of it, where it scans. You can type in the item you're going to buy, whether it be cosmetics or food, and they'll tell you they'll give the food or item a grade of how much pesticides they have. So it's fabulous. The website's fabulous as well. I mean, they are great. I mean, everybody loves the EWG. So they do publish an annual list of the most pesticide-laden fruits and vegetables. Now, the 15 are the 12 that are the dirtiest, they call the Dirty Dozen, and then the 15 that absorb the least are called the Clean 15. So we're just going to enumerate those and go over them really, really fast. In general, if you have the money, you should buy things locally grown at farmers markets or maybe a co-op, and then buy them organic. But the following, you definitely should buy organic. Now, typically in the Dirty Dozen, the same fruits and vegetables appear. So 2017, I'm going to read these off because I'm actually at their website right now because it does change a bit. I want to be up to date, and it is 2017. There's no point in reading the 2014 ones, even though they're essentially all the same. So number one, strawberries this year. Strawberries are typically on the Dirty Dozen. Again, think of the thin membrane. In general, berries, you do want to buy organic. That you do want to buy those organic. I know they're a couple dollars more, but you do want to buy them organic. Spinach is number two. Another classic Dirty Dozen, a lot of those leafy greens you'll see on this list. So you can buy organic spinach pretty cheap. Nectarines is number three. Apples are number four. That's another classic one. Apples and nectarines are quite common here. Apples you can buy organic. They're pretty inexpensive organic. So definitely buy those because they're very pesticide laden. Peaches are number five. Pears are number six. Cherries are number seven. Grapes are number eight. Now, if you notice those last three with pears, cherries, and grapes, again, thin membranes, they're more likely to absorb pesticides. Number nine is celery. Celery, it's pretty cheap. Celery is pretty cheap. Regular celery is very cheap. So organic celery wouldn't be too expensive. Tomatoes are number 10. Sweet bell peppers, the red ones, are 11. And then potatoes are number 12. So most of these are the same ones every year. So to review, strawberry, spinach, nectarines, apples, peaches, pears, cherries, grapes, celery, tomatoes, sweet bell peppers, and potatoes. These you should ideally buy organic if you can afford it. If you can afford it. Now, the Clean 15. The thing about the Clean 15 is these are the ones that absorb the least amount of pesticides. So ideally, you do not need to buy them organic. Now, a lot of supermarkets are going to say that you need to buy organic everything because, of course, organic food, albeit probably a little more expensive to produce, gives them a justification to hike up the prices crazy. So they are going to hike these up big time. So the following foods you do not need to buy organic. Number one is sweet corn. Now, I believe sweet corn is GMO, so just be careful on that. Avocados. We should all be eating avocados every day. They're great. Don't buy these organic. You don't need to. Three is pineapples. Four is cabbage. Five is onions. Onions are great because they're resistant starch, prebiotic foods. Should be eating a lot of onions. Six are sweet peas. Seven's papayas. Eight is asparagus. Nine are mangoes. Reminds me of the Chris Kattan skit from the late 90s. No, the mango. You can't have the mango. No mango for you. He was like the weird androgynous dancer. 10 is eggplant. 11 is honeydew melon. 12 is kiwi. Haven't had kiwi in a long time. 13 is cantaloupe. 14 is cauliflower. 15 is grapefruit. Okay, these do not buy organic. So again, sweet corn, avocados, pineapples, cabbage, onions, sweet peas, papayas, asparagus, mangoes, eggplant, honeydew melon, kiwi, cantaloupe, cauliflower, and grapefruits. Those are the Clean 15, my friends. Now, you can go over to the EWG website, and they actually list all the fruits and vegetables. So takeaway here is, you know, ideally grow your own. You know, and down here in South Texas, we can grow tomatoes pretty easily, but grow your own. And in terms of like, oh my God, strawberries, I love strawberries, but I can't afford organic strawberries. I would say you probably can, but you just don't eat out as much or don't get your Starbucks. I personally think, though, if you can't, it is better to eat pesticide-laden fruits and vegetables than not eat them at all, okay? Because there's the phytonutrients in them supersede the pesticide concern. I would say that definitely in the Dirty Dozen, you should really make an effort to try to buy them organic. I would say also that frozen fruits and frozen vegetables and canned fruits and vegetables, they're all going to be conventionally grown. So they're all going to have the same pesticide or non-pesticide issue, depending on if it's dirty or clean, unless they say they're organic. The problem with canned fruits is that you're getting the BPA in which the fruit is leaching the whole time. So you're going to get all that BPA. So I would never eat canned food ever. But if you love blueberries or blackberries, of course, are incredibly good for you. Just buy the regular ones if you can't afford the organic. Just don't bypass. Like, see, the EWG says I can't be eating blueberries and blackberries and potatoes, and so I'm not going to eat them. I'm going to eat tomatoes. Or don't do that. And then in terms of like, you're like, oh my God, organic. I got to get organic meat. I got to get organic dairy. I got to get organic fruits. Everything's, I can't afford, you know, $7 a pound organic meat and $4 a gallon organic milk. Now, I get that. Now, you know, we can't all shop at whole paycheck, right? So this is what I would put the order in terms of what you should buy organic. I would probably go with ranking meat first. If you should buy organic chicken and meat, because it's just disgusting and repulsive, the stuff that they shoot into our meat. And then I would go dairy. If you're buying dairy, if you're getting milk, definitely get full fat organic milk. And then produce. Again, produce, in my opinion, is not the most important one to buy organic. Okay? So that's all I really have to say today. go to the EWG website if you want to peruse their Dirty Dozen or Clean 15. They have great infographics too that you could use on Pinterest or wherever you like to use them on. Please come back to my next podcast and post a review and visit my website, Naturopathic Earth. Aside from that, take care. Have a great day. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.